boy, the lights are out. All the humans have gone to bed. Now it's time to scurry about. Run about on their meats and cheeses. Creep them out in the night. Whatever activity that you see fit. All my little roaches out there, welcome to another episode of The Josh Potter Show. Episode 56, I do believe. And I know that because I kept saying the last episode was 56. Not on the air, just when I would tweet about it or anything like that, and I had it wrong. This is episode 56. 56! We're over a year. I didn't even remember. I was just like, oh. It doesn't feel like over a year because of the fact we've had so many changes, different studios. It seems like we've always been starting over, but we press on, we move forward. Some exciting stuff in the forecast, including live shows, which you can find out about at my Twitter, at J_Potter, or you can go over to my Instagram, which is at Josh_Potter. Get the link tree right there, and boom, you'll see all my dates. Right now, the only date for sale is a date in Buffalo, New York, Thanksgiving weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all right after Thanksgiving there, 26, 27, 28, doing 5 shows at the club that I started at, Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo, New York. So come on out, get those tickets. I will be announcing shows happening in New York City, happening in Pittsburgh, happening in Raleigh, just to name a few. And we're going to fill out a bunch more come 2022. So I'm excited for that. Keep your eyes peeled to the link tree for that. And more also, twitch.tv/Josh_Potter. The Twitch is still going, baby. We're back doing live shows, and we're back doing, you know, sets at night and things like that, but I still promise 1 to 2 Twitch streams a week, at the very least. I want to thank Annie Letterman for taking me to San Antonio. Future me is thanking her. Past me is to taping this episode right before I get on a plane to go to San Antonio, so just keep that in mind. Got to thank Griffin Parker for submitting this instrumental track right here. It's called Flat Truck Tire, and I appreciate it a great deal. Friend, if you want to submit instrumentals, if you're a musician out there, you want to do a remix for the sports and the news intro, all those things can be submitted to joshpottershow@gmail.com. Same way that all our Roach reporters submit things, articles and such. And we do get feedback there as well, which I do appreciate. We do need follow-ups on some stories, of course, and we do have a follow-up on one a little bit later. There's a story coming up in the news that I picked out, and I was coming on here to go make my little yucks about it. Turns out a guy actually saw this happen and submitted it as well, so I'm excited to get to that one a little bit later on. Many people wrote in to talk about our semen terrorism that occurred last week on video. The one we caught white-handed
In Walmart.
And, you know, that lady, wowee. A lot of people talking about her. So some videos. These are all things that have been submitted to joshpottershow@gmail.com. So I appreciate you continuing to do that, because without you doing that, I don't know that I'd have a show some of these times, you know?
Fucking nasty.
Fucking nasty indeed. Also, yeah, no, we had a feedback right here. That's what I was trying to get to. Yeah, we had a feedback email. This one came to me by way of Zach. He spells it with a C. No K, just a C. No H, just a Z-A-C. Says, hey, Josh, I was listening to your last episode when, to my surprise, I heard my hometown mention. Los Gatos is the small California town where the party mom had hosted the sex parties for her son and his friends, but it may interest you to know that this is by no means an isolated incident. Pedophilia, oddly prolific in this weird, weird place. Los Gatos, I know that place because, and Kirsten, perhaps you can help me out here, I do believe former Buffalo Bills quarterback J.P. Lossman was born in Los Gatos, California. Can we verify?
Yep, give me 1 second. I'll look it up.
For sure. I didn't know if you... Is this a difficult screen to Google on here?
Nope. I'm just doing it on my end here.
Oh, okay. I don't get to read it in this case.
I'll slide it your way.
Awesome. Let me see if I'm correct here. This is a little bit of trivia.
What was his last name?
J.P. Lossman, L-O-S-M-A-N.
Right here it says Venice.
Venice, god damn it. That's where he was born?
That's what it says. That says birthplace.
Click on his Wikipedia. There is a Buffalo Bills quarterback that was born in Los Gatos. And I'll be damned. Was it Los Gatos High School he went to?
Yeah, it says here Losman grew up in Venice, California. Doesn't say anything here about high school.
Let's check it out on my end here. Oh, you know who it was?
Who was it?
Trent Edwards.
Trent.
Trent Edwards, Los Gatos High School. He was the quarterback right after J.P. Losman. He was, yeah, there he is. But Los Gatos High School, he's like a NorCal guy, I thought. So maybe it's not the same Los Gatos? God, I thought maybe one of our quarterbacks, perhaps a part of this sort of, this man wrote, pedophilia oddly prolific in this weird, weird place. And I wanted to see if I was correct. What did it say there when you pulled up his Wikipedia? What did it say?
Yeah, it said that he's actually from Los Gatos.
Is it the Los Gatos that this is talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, it says California, so I think so.
Trent. Trent Edwards was always oddly nice to me. I was a boyish boy back then in 2008, whatever it was, 2007. I'm just kidding. Trent Edwards is a really nice guy. J.P. Losman, not so much. But anywho, this man, he said, this article that I have linked here is one I am all too familiar with. To summarize, a crippled mother, keep that in mind, crippled mother, was charged with having sex with a minor. I was friends with both the kid who was diddled and one of the sons of the diddler. So this guy is like left out of a sort of a love triangle. Not really. I mean, the son isn't involved in it either, I suppose. But he is like, you know, oh my God, this guy is fucking around with the mom and I'm friends with the kid. But I wonder if he didn't know. I actually used to smoke weed every day with the kid who had sex with the mom and he never once mentioned it. I will say that he always looked happy, but we were also always quite stoned. So I attributed his constant smirk to that. I guess I was wrong. I love the show. Okay, so first of all, he linked an article about this, so we're going to get into that. I don't know if it says what year it occurred. 2007. So this person, geez Louise. If he was a minor in 2007, I was 21 years old. So I'm still having a hard time grasping my age, you know, as I get older here, as I get middle-aged. You young little nymphs out there, you nymph roaches, you know, shock me every time. I'm like, good God, 24. Should you be in my hotel room? You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. I'm just, you know. So anyhow, we're going to get to an article here in a couple of moments involving this person. I want to find out what her affliction was, what made her crippled. In fact, how crippled was she? You know? Because this kid, not only is he banging a mom, a crippled mom, then we have to start wondering, is he a hero? So we'll get into that article in a second, but he did have a little more feedback regarding the show. He says, I love the show. I've been listening since day one, and I'll keep listening despite you treating the NHL like your redheaded stepchild and reporting almost solely on the Major League Baseball and National Football Leagues. I talk about hockey. I did mention last week how the Buffalo Sabres, I'm going to watch as many games as I possibly can. So far, 3-0, at the time of this taping. I'm sure by the time this comes out, we'll drop two or three games, whatever. But I am going to talk about Evander Kane in a little bit. Evander Kane, when we get into the sports, hilarious. We talked about him not too long ago as to he was betting on his own games. And so nothing really came out of that. His wife exposed that he had a gambling issue. He was gambling on his games. They said they were investigating it. Now, something completely out of left field's occurred. So we'll get to Evander Kane, one of my favorite cases in the NHL. So we will be talking NHL in this episode, Zach. I wanted to let you know. He also says you should come up to San Francisco. I probably will. Thanks for being such a great part of my weekly routine. I hope life is good. P.S. The phrase, going down a rabbit hole, he goes, the phrase is going down a rabbit hole, not going down a wormhole. Apparently, I say going down a wormhole instead of a rabbit hole. I don't think it makes a fucking difference because he says a wormhole is a hypothetical connection between a widely separated. That's what I'm talking about. widely separated regions of space and time. I think what I'm saying makes sense then, if you even include that context. A rabbit hole is that one that rabbits dig. Yeah, which one sounds more insane? The wormhole or the rabbit hole? The rabbit hole just is something a rabbit digs. I went down a rabbit hole. So you went two fucking articles? What'd you do? I went down a little bit over. I go through wormholes, baby. I go to the other side of space. I come out. I don't even know where the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? So I think what I say is appropriate. Never question my context. And for those of you who are reminding me that it's Musafa instead of Mustafa, I will not apologize. I put one T in there and everyone's up my ass. You try talking for an hour and see how many things you fuck up. Of course I know it's Musafa and not Mustafa or Mufasa. I'm saying it wrong again, aren't I, Kirsten?
Just slightly. You're good.
Thank you. It's Mufasa. I get it. I know that. And I said what? Mustafa?
Yeah, I think you said that.
I put a T in there somewhere. But let's get into this crippled lady who fucked kids, huh? When Sarah Cole needed help after a drunken driver smashed into her legs on 2007, many in the Los Gatos community opened their hearts, arranging meals for her sons, holding car washes, and donating cash to help the mother of four get through the crisis. On Thursday, those warm feelings were replaced by shock and betrayal as people struggled with news they never dreamed they'd hear about this woman. She was accused of hurting one of their own, of having sex with an underage friend of one of her sons. She was 47, released on $30,000 bail Thursday morning after being arrested on three felony counts of having sex with a minor from May 1st to July 15th, the summer of love. Now, Kirsten, can you do me a solid and pull up this article while I go through it? Because it says the accident she had rendering her legs or smashing them was in 2007. When did this article take place? That's what I want to
know. Yep, this was actually published in 2010.
2010. So only 11 years ago. And so can you scroll up? Is that the picture of the lady? Is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
Oof. I wonder how smashed her legs were.
Well, it's confusing because I actually looked up a few other pictures of her. Mm-hmm. Just to see if she's actually a MILF or not. And she's walking.
Well, yeah, that's, I would imagine. I'd imagine she has to be walking a little bit. And by the way, can you turn your microphone up slightly just so I could hear you better? Because I'm having a difficult time.
Yep, I got you.
But yeah, I would imagine she has to have the ability to walk in some capacity. She's not rolling around and they're not missing.
They're not missing.
We know that she has legs. They've been smashed up by a drunken driver. And so she's walking around. She's like, she looks like one of those. She looks like a Karen in that one, the top left there, eh? I mean, and then that one right there. She has real Karen hair. That's for sure. So, man, oh, man, she was. I wonder how single she was beforehand. We don't know her life. And the only reason I'm asking these questions is because it's always curious to me when a woman does this type of stuff. When a guy does it, you can chalk it up to like he's a pervert or he's Italian or he, you know, that's the new synonym for pervert, evidently Italian. No, but it's usually the case, right? You could just chalk it up right to that. The guy's a fucking perv. And, you know, he wanted to fuck a young looking woman or whatever the case. When it comes to a woman doing it, because women aren't just into sex for the physical aspect of it, that's what even makes it more curious to me as to what goes into that psyche. And I don't know that I know anything about it. You know, you have different examples. There's like Mary Kay Letourneau, who is like, I'm in love with him, and then married the guy, like, and then divorced and remarried the guy. She recently died, by the way. RIP to the OG, Mary Kay Letourneau. But yeah, I'm always just so fascinated and curious by when a woman does it, whether it be a teacher or in this case, the mother of a friend. In this case, I go, well, her legs were all smashed up. She seems like she was divorced already, hence the whole like community coming together to her aid. It doesn't say she's a single mother, but it does say mother of four. So I think it's implied, right? So perhaps she's not getting too much dick slung her way, what with having four children to juggle and a job most likely. So perhaps she got a bit thirsty of her own. and had the same pervy impulses that a gentleman would have. 47, fucking around with a underage guy. Yeah, it doesn't say how old he is, but it's probably not, you know, one of those ones that's on the line there. And police, the same people who investigated and helped put the drunken driver who hurt her behind bars, shared in the disappointment. They had to now investigate and arrest her. Do you think the police really do that kind of thing? I'm sure that happens a lot if you're a police officer. Somebody does something fucked up to a person and then all of a sudden you're arresting them for kiddie porn. Like, that's, you know, that's life, baby. Grow up. If you're a cop and you're disenchanted by your job because of that, grow up. Yeah, everyone's a scumbag. You're going to be doing, you're going to be pulling a fucking priest over for a ticket. You're going to let him go because he's got the fucking collar on, and then you're going to be investigating him for eating a boy's ass. I mean, that's just police work, baby. Grow up. There was certainly a level of disappointment and shock here, says the police department captain. Their chief and several of the officers had a supportive relationship with the woman, but we also have an obligation to the victim and to do our job. Well, thank the Lord that you have that. According to the police report on the case released Thursday, so the boy was 17. Still bad, illegal, obviously, right, YouTube? This guy, though, that's friends with him, he's like, seemed like a real happy guy all the time, really smiley. But, you know, he probably, we'll find out how the flag was raised here, but evidently, he had an intensive relationship sharing 5,413 texts and 863 phone calls during a six-month period tallied by police. During interviews with police, the woman said that she had sex with the boy three or four times. The secret relationship began to unravel when the boy's parents sent him to a special camp to receive therapy for marijuana use and other problems. Zach, you see this? The boy went there for marijuana problems. That's on you, buddy. You thrusted him into the arms of this teacher, too, probably, Zach, the Roach reporter who submitted this. According to, while he was at the camp, his parents were able to gain access to the contents of his cell phone and computer. Well, that's fucked up. So this kid was having the coolest life ever. He's 17, he's fucking his friend's mom, smoking weed every day with Zach here. And then his nosy-ass parents get involved. They send him to a special camp, a.k.a. rehab, and it all becomes unraveled. The woman and the teenager had known each other for 5 years. Yay. So this kid's 9 and he knows. That's wild. He went to Cole's home to do homework with one of her sons and often slept over. He told police that he and the woman started having sex in April when she kissed him for the first time. As interviews with police continued, the picture emerged of the boy receiving money from Cole to buy pot, booze, and cigarettes. He said he didn't want to have sex with the woman, but did it for the free drugs. Now, that's a wild sort of thing right there. I didn't want, like, so here's the thing. And I try my hardest. I'm sitting here, like, white-knuckling the fact that I'm not making the old tropes, the old jokes about the fact that, like, you know, when he's giving that statement about how they had sex for the first time after she kissed him in April, how he wasn't grinning from ear to ear during that. I'm trying not to make those jokes, you see, because the kid was still a kid at the time, and it is so wrong. And then you hear something like that at the end where he's like, I didn't want to have sex with her. And it's like, it's okay. Let it out. He's like, but the free drugs. Oh, and then, oh boy, is this a follow-up, Kirsten? Tell me what you've just put on the screen.
Yeah. Right. So I just found another article and it said that he actually testified that they had sex 30 to 40 times. And it says here that they asked, did you lie last year to detectives when you told them you only had sex with Sarah Cole three or four times? And he said yes.
Rock on, brother. He was like, fuck. And again, he said all this with a smile on his face. How can you feel bad for the kid now that you know he wanted to do it for the free drugs? Do you still feel, I mean, like, if he's weaponizing her pedophilia, you know, I don't know. That's all I'm saying. Let's get into the rest of this. On July 25th, he wrote to her, hi, wanna chill? This is after he's getting free drugs. Oh, hold on. There's more. Because they get into these text messages, eh? He did it for the free drugs, yada, yada, yada. We know this. On June 21st, a text to the boy from the woman wrote, "I wish I could tell your girlfriend what you're really like. You pretend to be so shy and sweet, if she only knew." Huh. On July 25th, he wrote back to her, "Hi, wanna chill? Didn't we just chill?" He wrote back, "No, chill with me." She answered, "Oh, you mean like come over and chill with you in your pool house?" And then he wrote back, "Yeah, baby, let's go." Sick. The boy's parents went to police in June after seeing some of the disturbing text messages. I want to know who was behind that. Was it the father or the mother? Do tell. They don't say, they say the parents. A unified force, I'm sure. When police interviewed the woman, she downplayed what had happened at first, calling him one of her son's sweet and innocent friends. And she licked her lips at that point. When police confronted her on September 23rd with evidence from the boy's BlackBerry and computer, including Facebook postings, she admitted to having sex with the boy. She said that she knew they were too close and it was obviously wrong. It might have been stupid, she said, but the boy was someone who didn't care that her leg was mangled. Aww. He doesn't care about my mangled leg. He just gets on top and makes it happen. It's almost as if he is like a teenage boy with just hormones coursing through his veins, and it doesn't matter what he's humping. She said she knew they were too close. As I mentioned, the Mercury News left two messages on her voicemail, but calls were not returned. She survived a horrific accident in the parking lot of a Baggerly Field off Blossom Hill Road. I don't know what that Baggerly Field must be, a field. But ballpark, maybe, over in Los Gatos, where Trent Edwards perhaps used to play high school ball. Who knows? But that's where her horrific leg. Oh, it gets into her accident. Let's see what. Do we want to try and feel bad for her, this pedophile? As she was unloading her son's bicycle from the back of her sport utility vehicle, a person slammed into her car, crushing her legs and nearly killing her. His blood alcohol content was twice the legal limit. Oh, it says here he's an undocumented immigrant. Why do I have to throw that in there? That's not cool. Anyhow, there was, I guess, a big public court hearing afterwards, and she did not consider him an evil man, took pity on him. After she was injured, the community rallied around her, holding car washes, setting up meal trains for her sons. She was hailed by supporters as a fighter, someone who beat death and showed compassion toward the drunken driver who mangled her legs. And then she showed compassion fucking a child. Last year, she was invited by the Los Gatos police chief to speak at an event. Wow. Just goes to show, folks. Even when you don't want to, they just let these pedophiles just get ushered in. You all of a sudden, you're just among us. But you know, the kid probably was 17, but he looked way older, right? That's what we have to go with. That's what we have to say to. I don't fucking know. All the dads out there like nudging the kid, "Way to go, son." That old thing. But it's still a fucking pedophilia thing, and it's still, especially, I mean, even more so these days now, people are keeping an eye on those things and don't have sort of the leniency when it comes. You want to have gender fluidity and equality and things like that. Well, that starts with that little, double standard. Thank you. I said it as you said it. Perfect. Let's get into the news. Lots of death going on in this whole news situation today, and even perhaps some murder happening in this bad boy. We'll find out. We're going to put our little detective hats on and see. This one's definitely murder. A woman shot a man dead for not kissing her. This coming in from a Roach reporter named Brian Fick. A woman has been accused of fatally shooting a man when he refused to kiss her after a night of drinking. Oh, man, that is a tough look when you're a woman and you're drinking with a guy and 4 a.m. rolls along and you are like, let's make out. And he's like, nah. That's probably tough. As a guy, that happens. You know, at 4 a.m., I remember those days, you'd go around to the bar, you know, they go, last call, the lights would come up, and then you'd be like, ooh, you'd hope you were entranced by someone before the lights came on and you saw what was going on. Same, by the way, and I'm not saying I'm a cup of tea when the lights come on either, so you hope that you can fucking do some black magic, you know what I'm saying? Like, enchant them in some way through conversation where when the lights come on, they're like, ooh, but they don't care. They still go home with you. Same with, you know, we're both playing this fucking racket. So I can understand the rejection this woman must have felt. 4 a.m., end of the bar, night of drinking. Who knows if it was 4 a.m., but either way, a night of drinking. And you go to kiss a guy and the guy says no. Tough stuff. Illinois mom of three was socializing with a man and his girlfriend in their apartment in Rolling Meadows. Interesting little turn of events. When the evening turned violent, evidently. So not in a bar, drinking in an apartment with a girlfriend. Interesting enough. I think we can see where this is heading. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, after the man... Oh, I'm sorry here. I skipped a part. Cook County prosecutors said this woman, Claudia, and the couple had been hanging out and drinking when Claudia asked James for a kiss. I don't know that I was said no. She's pretty cute. There's her. This is the woman on the screen, eh? According to the Sun-Times, he said no and asked his girlfriend for a kiss instead. Prosecutors said she then became jealous and asked again, but he continued to refuse. So is it, in fact, I wonder if this man is doing the old hide the ball under the shells kind of thing. Shell game here. Shell game happening. Shell game alert. He probably invited these two women over. He was more into the other one. She's like, kiss me. He's like, no. He goes, what about you, other girl? You want to make out? And she's like, sure. They start making out afterwards, after he gets shot and police are involved. He's like, no, it's my girlfriend, bro. You know, that kind of thing. I'm just thinking. That's where my mind's going. This woman then took Mr. Jones' gun from where it was stashed between couch cushions. Not a great place to put your gun. See, that's what happens. When you're having two women over and you have your gun stashed in your couch cushions, you're asking for trouble. Put that shit, gun safety, put that in your gun locker or whatever they call them. The gun safe or whatever the fuck. That way, the crazy woman you invite over that you're going to make out in front of can't shoot you with it. Come on now. So she found it in the couch cushions and aimed it at him when Mr. Jones saw her put her finger on the trigger and take the safety off. He unsuccessfully tried to push the gun down. Claudia shot him once in the chest, killing him, said the prosecutors. Mr. Jones's girlfriend called emergency services. Responding officers reportedly found the handgun still in the living room. This woman, Claudia, she said... She was identified as the shooter, taken into custody. A witness had been cooperating with the investigation, and the scene was processed for evidence. At this time, it appears that it is an isolated incident with no threat to the general public. Why do they have to put that in the fucking article? I don't give a shit about that. This woman, Claudia, later admitted to shooting Mr. Jones and was subsequently charged with first-degree murder. He didn't make it. Turns out. The public defender... said that Claudia is separated from her husband and is the sole caretaker of her three young children. So, like I said, we don't have this man to tell us what was going on, what was really happening. He's dead now. And, of course, the other woman that didn't shoot him was like, no, he was my boyfriend. That's what you thought, Toots. This guy was probably, if he could have played his cards right, he could have had both of them and not be dead today. That is a threesome gone way awry. It is one of those situations where he could have been sitting there and he could have made a threesome probably happen. And instead, he was a little greedy punk and he got greedy and he fucking got shot. And now he's dead. Let that be a lesson. Let this be a cautionary tale to you out there. You can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. And with that, today's show is brought to us by Babbel. I wish I could say that sentence in a different language, yet I have not gotten that far quite yet in Babbel's lessons, but I have learned quite a bit, as a matter of fact, and learning a new language, you know, it often can be intimidating. It was intimidating for me to try and start learning a new language, but thanks to Babbel, all that intimidation gone out the door. Babbel is the number one selling language learning app right now. The whole process is addictively fun, by the way. It's fast and easy. Whether you want to learn a new language for an upcoming trip, or maybe you just want to have a new hobby, it teaches things in bite-sized language lessons, and you get real-world use out of it, my friend. 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a language on the go. All these other language apps are using like AI technology or whatever for lesson plans. Babbel, they actually created they created their lesson plans with over 100 language experts, and their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. They've got languages including Spanish, French, Italian, German, so much more, my friend. So go check it out today. Right now, when you purchase 3 months of Babbel, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's a six-month subscription for the price of just three. Go to Babbel.com and use promo code Josh. That's Babbel.com, code Josh, Babbel, language for life. Continuing with the news now, you see, we have a firefighter or two that are in a little bit of trouble. No one talks about the firefighters, and I'm not disparaging you firefighters. I think cops, firefighters, I'm on team with all of you. I think the ones, you know, I'm a big bad apple guy. There's a bad apple in all of them. There's bad apples in everything. Comics we've seen get canceled, things like that. Some bad apples doing some bad things. Some firefighters, I'm sure, are bad too. We've seen some bad cops. We've seen some bad, to my profession, we've seen bad things. I'm just saying, there's bad people in everything. I'm sure there's some bad. No one talks about firefighters being racist ever, I noticed, you know? All the cops are bad. ACAB, they say that. I don't agree with that. I think there's some bad ones, but there's also some good ones. Same with firefighters. Everyone wants to pretend all the firefighters are good. It's the opposite of the cops. There's some bad ones, too. There's no YouTube videos of firefighters out there with body cams just going slower to fires. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I just think it's a funny. We all talk about the cops in one way, but no one talks about the firefighters. But this firefighter, we're going to talk about. A mural unveiled last year depicting a Florida city's first black female deputy fire chief with a white face prompted a lawsuit. Yeah, if you're going to celebrate the city's first black female deputy fire chief, you probably want to paint her with not a white face. Just saying. A public apology and dismissals of two municipal employees have occurred and may soon result in an $80,000 payout. The woman's name is Latasha Clemens, 48. She sued the city of Boynton Beach, about 60 miles north of Miami, in April for defamation and negligence. It's wild. Do you think that if they painted me with blackface, they probably would have sued me. The city probably would have sued me. I would have been like, I didn't paint it. They're like, yeah, but you're wearing blackface in the painting, so surrender your badge and your gun. Whatever it is. Any job. That's just how they say. Surrender your badge and your gun. Even if you're not a cop, you could just be any job. You do blackface. You got to turn them in. Being depicted as white was not only a false presentation of Clemens, it was also a depiction which completely disrespected all that Clemens, the first female black firefighter for the city, had accomplished. Her determination, focus, and hard work, the lawsuit says. Well, yeah, no, of course. If you're going to celebrate that, and this is the case, it has to depict that. Like I said, though, what if they made me blackface? I would have been fucked. And say they made her instead of, what if they made her a black man instead of a black woman? She probably still would have been up in arms. I wonder, would there have been so much of an outcry, or would they have been like, ooh, it's a mistake? Why not? Where's this artist? That's what I want to know. If I'm one of these municipal employees, I would have been like, I didn't paint the thing. I said, we want a mural. Here's the person. He picked a really white paint. He picked a bad hue. That's not on me. As the person who, so, okay, maybe I hired a colorblind artist, apparently. I hired, and I'm not saying that in a woke way. I'm saying he's literally perhaps colorblind. He painted her white. My bad. I didn't paint it, though. I don't know. I'd be like, hey, can we just like, I mean, it's an easy fix. Can we fill it in? You know, let's go down to Home Depot. Get a nice swatch going. I don't know. So this is not going away, though. You know, big time lawsuit, things like that. Obviously, everyone needs to make amends. The mayor comes out to speak. He says it's unacceptable. And then he was asked about the $80,000 settlement. And he says, oh, I'm for it. I'm in favor of it. The woman declined to comment Wednesday. She referred questions to her attorney. Ms. Clemens looks forward to putting this very hurtful event behind her and is hopeful that the city, through its commission members, will make the right decisions to allow her to do so. You know, I had to suppress my emotions, but after the event, a ton of emotions came over me, she said. Growing up in the community where I grew up, you didn't see blacks, particularly black women, in the fire department. According to her lawsuit, Clemens, who was hired in 1996, was the first black woman in the department. She rose through the ranks in positions of lieutenant, captain, battalion chief. In 2017, she became a deputy chief. She retired last year, the lawsuit said. The mural, which was supposed to be the highlight or to highlight the history of firefighters in the city, was also to have featured the image of Glenn Joseph, a black former fire chief. His face was also replaced by a white face. Oh, my Lord. So there was two, and they both got the white face treatment. And again, where's the artist? It sounds like an artist thing. And then he just probably the artist, you know, he's out there painting and he's just like, oh, they're firemen. Well, they're all white. Okay. He just went with it. He didn't even think. Oh shit. My bad. Or he deliberately did it. Either way. If I'm a member on the municipal whatever the fuck that's in charge of making murals, I'm like, God damn, the one thing, I hire this artist and I hire a fucking racist artist, my bad. So I guess they're hired, or they're fired, and that's the end of that. This is an interesting thing. A Tesla, I don't have one of these. Kirsten, have you ridden in a Tesla?
I have not.
Did I say Kirsten that time, or did I say Kirsten?
Yeah, you said Kirsten.
Okay, sometimes I say the right way and I think I say it wrong. Is that weird?
No, it happens a lot.
Did you say you rode in one?
I have not.
I have ridden in them here and there. The other day I had an Uber that was a Tesla, and I'll tell you what, they don't have handles on them, like door handles, and I'm just like, I feel like I am reversing back to like becoming an ape. I'm just slapping the car. I'm like, I don't know. And the guy's like, just touch it. I'm like, touch what? Touch what? And then when to get out, same thing. I'm like waving my hand like it's a fucking gonna dispense a paper towel in a bathroom, you know? They're spaceships. To the point where like, I haven't driven a car in 4 years. I was just talking about this on Twitter. I haven't driven a car in 4 years. And I think I'm terrified to drive a car, but I still miss just driving around and listening to music. So now what I do is I just go on Grand Theft Auto and I drive around like the first person view. So like, it's just like my hands on the wheel and I just drive traffic laws the whole way. But these Teslas, man, they are like literal spaceships. I can't imagine being behind the wheel of one of them. And then they're also like self-driving and shit. So like people can just sleep in them and shit. It's so wild to me. People are like sleeping and crap. This particular one was a death vehicle. Tesla goes 116 miles per hour through a home. This is according to the Tampa Times. They're reporting that after plowing through a house and killing two people, a man now faces homicide charges over the crash. This is interesting. I've known a couple people who drove through houses in my day, drunkenly. I know like three people. And they never killed anybody, thank the Lord. They never killed themselves. But in this case, people die. What I think is insane, going, you know the gist of it. I'm not going to read the whole fucking article. This guy, something occurred where he went 116 miles per hour It wasn't even his Tesla, so he must have, like, fucked up. That's what I'm saying about these Teslas. If I were to get behind the wheel of one, it would be like, accessing turbo. And I'd be like, wait, what? And then all of a sudden we're at a rocket ship and I'm going through, I'm doing some fucking Fast and the Furious shit off the side of the highway, going through a skyscraper. You know, I don't fucking know. So I feel like that's what kind of went on here. The guy ended up, you know, the speed limit was 30 miles an hour. He ended up going 116 miles per hour. There's a image of it on the screen right now as Kirsten is pulling it up. There's the car. All the people in the car. Well, the man survived, right? So, I mean, I guess I should read this part. But they're charging him with fucking murder. The Tesla flew through a stop sign at an intersection before going up an embankment that launched it through the roof of the house. Through the roof of the house. The car struck and killed a woman and her dog inside the house. The force of the crash was great enough to push the woman out of the house and into the front yard where she was found. One of the passengers died later in the hospital, and the three other passengers all suffered serious injuries. So the fact that three people lived in that car is kind of crazy. Tesla doesn't want to promote these types of accidents, I'm sure, but at the end of the day, do they just go like, three people live through that shit? Kind of a safe car? If only a fucking car company could advertise the most horrific wrecks and be like, but they made it. Now the family of the woman that died has filed a lawsuit against the person of the driver and the estate of the person who had the car, apparently, because this was a friend's car. He's facing vehicular homicide charges, three charges of reckless driving resulting in serious injury, and one charge of reckless driving resulting in property damage. The victim was the primary caregiver to her daughter and two grandchildren who lived at the home, and a GoFundMe has been set up to assist them. Yuck, that sucks. I mean, you're just at your house and a fucking dipshit drives a rocket ship car through your fucking house. It doesn't say he was drunk or anything either. So he was just probably beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. I don't know if that can happen in a Tesla. It would happen to me, though. It would happen to me. That's for sure. Do I want to save these things?
It says here that he had purchased the car just a few hours before the wreck.
See, I read that part too, but then it also said it was a friend's Tesla, I thought.
So I think this guy purchased it, and then his friend wanted to drive it, and he said, yeah, sure.
So this guy was still in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's the one that died. Does it say that?
I'm looking, but it doesn't say.
Huh. There's a bunch of things here in the news that I might want to save for next time, because we're coming close to the end, but I want to get to some sports things that I missed, especially this Evander Kane thing that I'm just getting updated on. Such a Evander Kane, always going to be a figure of mine that I'm like, ooh, Evander Kane. I see like an Evander Kane article and I'm like a little dog. I'm like, ha, you know, I get excited.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, we want to hear the fucking remix by Grass Kingdoms. Or, excuse me, by Odd Track Numbers. Let me get it right before I fucking play it.
I know Mike Vick, he had that thing with the dogs and shit. Dogs and shit. Dogs.
John Gruden, we talked about it last week and went through all his emails and things like that. Of the 6,500,000 emails, so far just John Gruden and Adam Schefter, the only ones that kind of have had a comeuppance because of it. Nobody in the Washington football team has yet, as we talked about last week, and even still, as this is ongoing. And nobody's talking about the true victim in all of this, and that is Frank Caliendo. What is Frank Caliendo going to do now? Of course, Frank Caliendo, known for his impressions, but in recent years, it seems like John Gruden was his new John Madden, because that's what he got to such prominence with, the John Madden impression. And now, in recent years, he was doing Gruden all up and down. He was doing Gruden all over ESPN, doing Gruden on Fox, doing Gruden here, doing Gruden there. Some people would wonder, is Frank Caliendo fucked forever? I think he has a resurgence. I think he's going to bring new life to the John Gruden impression. And now he can say all the edgy stuff he couldn't do before. It's not like he could make John Gruden racist and homophobic and misogynistic before. He would never get on television. Now, that's who John Gruden is. We know him from the emails. Go out there and say whatever the fuck you want. Go be John Gruden. Now he can do it especially. That's what I think. I think, Frank Caliendo, if you're listening to me, please, don't abandon it. Now's the time to really lean into it. And now you can say all the fucked up shit that you wish you could have said your entire career. Just make Gruden say it. It's like having a ventriloquist dummy. Says all the fucked up shit. You just make Gruden say it. So I think if you're out there and you're feeling melancholy, maybe you're down on your luck, feeling down on yourself, Frank Caliendo, that's my career advice to you. Don't try and do another impression. Stick with what got you here, and now just make them all those things. Racist, homophobic, do all that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hope he takes my advice. And if you're out, tag him in this so he knows, you know. The NFL has found no other current team or league personnel to have sent emails containing racist, homophobic, or misogynistic language similar to messages written by John Gruden that led to his resignation as Las Vegas Raiders head coach, according to a person familiar with the documents. That's just in those 6,500,000 emails. I'm sure if the NFL were to go over all emails of all time, they would find plenty of current team or league personnel who have sent some wild shit. A person familiar with the investigation as well as the emails told the Associated Press on Friday that the league did not identify other areas and other individuals it has to contact at club leadership or league leadership levels. The person spoke on condition of anonymity because the league had not publicly released what is in the 6,500,000 emails the independent investigators collected during the investigation of sexual harassment and other workplace conditions at the Washington football team. The NFL did not identify any problems anywhere near what you saw with John Gruden. So I'm wondering if they found anything else. The person did not address any other areas of potential issues found in the emails beyond similarities with Gruden's comments. Meaning there's probably still some Dan Snyder shit in there. Gruden resigned, bop, 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 we know all this. The NFL would consider a probe of Bruce Allen, who was fired in December of 2019, should he attempt to return to the league, but they're not going to do it because he left the league. Interesting. So it makes you wonder, did Gruden resign so that it would cease probing into him? Because perhaps if they did a little bit more research, they would find worse emails that he sent out there. I wonder if that's the case. That's an interesting little thing right there. I didn't know that once you exit the league, the NFL goes, no more investigation. We're done. We'll back off. There were a number of topics they discussed with Allen in emails, but the NFL found it, the attorney had not been too chummy with the Washington team president, nor was there anything. Okay, who cares about all that? It's talking about what led to the Gruden emails. Anyhow, that's the end of that. But yeah, Frank Caliendo, listen to me, friend. It's about time that you take your career back. Yeah, you won't get on television anymore and stuff like that, but you'll be selling those tickets, baby. Maybe I'm not the best advice when it comes to that kind of thing, you know?
Idiot woman!
I have here... Oh, Evander Kane. Let's talk about Evander Kane. Because Evander Kane, you see, someone we've brought up on this program for his gambling situation that we discussed, but he is also in the news again because he has been suspended by the NHL. Why, you ask? Was it for this gambling situation? No, it was not. It was for something completely unrelated. Was it for his domestic abuse charges, Josh? No. In fact, that gets thrown out in the wash during this whole thing as well. So why did he get suspended? He forged a COVID-19 card. I think that's hilarious. I think that's so funny that people forge it. Like, no one's going to check. Maybe he thought, like, if he brought the piece of paper in, that the team wouldn't do its due diligence, you know, and see if it's real or not. But now everything's QRC code, baby. You just have to flash the QRC code and you're in whatever that case may be. It makes me feel kind of cool. I know that it's inherently wrong to like be like, show your papers to get into some place or whatever. I don't agree with that whole thing, but it is still fun to have the papers, you know? I bet that's what people were saying in Germany. They were like, you know, this is fucked up, but how cool is it that we don't have to worry about that? You know what I'm saying? But Evander Kane tried to forge his papers, didn't work out, got suspended. That's a federal offense too, I do believe, if you forge your fucking COVID documents. So the fact that he just got suspended is, you know, kind of lucky for him at the end of the day. But I don't know what's going on. It doesn't even mention in recent articles what's going on with his gambling thing, if that's still being investigated, or if that was just a bunch of nonsense that his wife was throwing out there, because it turns out there was no substantial evidence to take her up on her domestic abuse claims as well. Another gentleman who I've talked about quite a bit, I talked about him, I brought him up first and foremost on Your Mom's House last year, back when he was playing minor league baseball. It's catcher Reese McGuire. He plays for the Toronto Blue Jays. And he was caught down in Florida when he was in minor league ball, I do believe. Yeah, minor league ball. Yeah, he was caught in a parking lot jerking off. And everyone likes to make their jokes. They like to make fun of things. And he was asked by the police. There's a whole video of it. I played it on Your Mom's House. I wish I would have thought to bring it here, because I forgot I didn't do it on this show. I did it on Your Mom's House. But in this video, you know, the cop asks him, why are you jerking off in a parking lot? In so many words. And he's like, because I don't have any privacy. And you're thinking, you're like, this guy's a professional baseball player. How does he not have privacy? Well, in minor leagues, they get paid dog shit. And oftentimes, they're living in, like, I mean, women who are sex trafficked probably have better arrangements than minor league ball players have in some of these places. Finally, Major League Baseball has announced that its teams will pay for minor league players' housing. Amid mounting pressure from players and advocacy groups, Major League Baseball said on Sunday it will require teams to provide housing for minor league players starting in 2022. Minor league players have grown increasingly outspoken about their working conditions, criticizing teams for salaries that leave some below the poverty line and the financial issues that stem from having to provide their own housing for home games. So yeah, they have to live in some city where they don't live, but they're living off of like shitty fucking below poverty line salaries, making like, what, you know, 18 grand or something like that. Who the fuck knows what they're making, some of these players. So they're rooming with each other, and they're living in apartments, you know, sometimes studios or one bedrooms with like eight other guys. So guys like Reese McGuire then have to go like, I need to jerk off, and they drive around and jerk off, and they get into trouble. You see what happens? It's Major League Baseball's fault that Reese McGuire might be considered a sexual predator at this point in Florida. And like I said, I know I've never spoken to a woman who has been a victim of sex trafficking, but it sounds like they have better digs. I mean, sometimes when you're being sex trafficked, you live on a boat. Sure, you're in a barrel, but sometimes you're not. You get a bed or whatever. I don't know. These guys, I mean, they're living in fucking Podunk, Florida, on top of one another, having to ride the bus to like another Podunk town. So it's about time that Major League Baseball did this. I appreciate that. Oh boy, this is my favorite story, and it's where we're going to wrap up. It's a thick one, it's a juicy one, and it's about Coach O of the LSU Tigers. Now, if you don't know anything about college football and you don't know who Coach O is, do some YouTube videos about Coach O and you won't help but fall in love with him. He's just enchanting. He's, you know, he's talk like this, go Tigers, go Tigers, Coach O, go Tigers. And you're just like, oh, look at this guy. He's cute. Whatever. It's fun. And he did. He won a national championship with Joe Burrow. It seemed like he was riding high. This thing gets thick. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I should have sussed it out better. I did in my brain, but I didn't on the papers. I did when I read it before. So basically, Coach O wins the national championship. Last year, bad season. But you know, COVID. So we're kind of like, all right, we'll let it slide. This year, bad season for LSU. Coach O, already feet to the flames, has announced he will step down, he will resign at the end of the season. He's just going to finish out the season, which is a weird move. But in college, it's a little different because of the recruiting, blah, blah, blah. So in order to bridge the gap, he's decided that he's going to step down. He's not going to repeat, blah, blah, blah. So what happened? Well, it's not just the fact that Joe Burrow's gone, Ja'Marr Chase is gone. It's not just on-field stuff. Coach O, kind of feeling himself, it turns out. And turns out, like many of the people in the stories we have today, and maybe even yours truly, Coach O is a little bit horny. And his horniness got him in a little bit of trouble. One source told The Athletic he lost track of who he was and what made him good from the national championship to now. So he got a big head when he started, after he won that national championship a couple years ago. I want to see here. Oh, yes. Okay. This wasn't a downfall via chaotic behavior and driving assistants mad. It was a slow and steady whittling away of all the things that brought him to the program and its success. Add in a massive title scandal in the university, a Title IX scandal, excuse me, in the university, and the newly single interactions that he had with women, bringing new distractions, and the changing off-field behavior coincided with declining on-field results. So everyone is attributing his horniness to the downfall of the LSU Tigers. And again, they said he lost track of who he was and what made him good from the national championship to now. There were coordinator hires of coaches that Coach O admits to not fully interviewing. And then he had embarrassing interactions with fans, evidently. There were viral photos of him in bed with women, evidently. I didn't see those. Can we Google some of those viral photos, Kirsten? And don't worry, I'm going to get to that video, by the way. I forgot about that. We will have that before I sign off, too, so don't get rid of that. But here he is. Look at this. Coach O making Urban Meyer look like a little bitch. Look at that one there on the right. Well, the one that you have predominantly showing there. That woman looks quite young for Coach O. So yes, there was that. There were political comments that fractured the locker room and a poorly handled racial inequity protest. Interesting. So those are a little weird. There was also a roster that lacked the leadership of LSU's 2019 title team. Oh yeah, and then also the roster. That doesn't make him a bad coach, one person close to the situation said. It doesn't make him a bad motivator. It doesn't make him a bad recruiter. It doesn't make him a bad person. He just lost track of who Coach O is a little bit, and he lost a bit of his identity. I can see a 30 for 30 down the line. I can't wait to see all the juicy details about the chicks. On the night LSU won the national championship back in 2019, Coach O went back to his hotel room around 2:30 a.m. with his then-wife, Kelly. They had nothing to eat, but somebody handed them some Popeye's chicken, and the two finished off the box before falling asleep. Sounds like marriage. By the time he woke up 5 hours later for a news conference, he was the man with the most capital in all of Louisiana. 6 weeks later, Coach O files for divorce. In his 23 years married to Kelly, Coach O generally kept a low social profile. His personality will always be larger than life, but he didn't go out often and wasn't known to socialize much. After battling alcoholism in the past and involving arrests and restraining orders, Coach O lived a more stable and private life for 23 years with Miss Kelly. Then, at his most powerful and most wealthy, Coach O was single again. He had just signed a 6-year, $42 million extension and was a Louisiana hero. He was going to enjoy it. Something that had priority in his life that didn't have a priority before was pussy. It doesn't say that here, but that's what I'm saying. It says something else along the lines to indicate that pussy became a priority. It became, quote, according to this source, too high on the totem pole. It was noticeable that football wasn't his entire focus like it had been in years past, and it became a distraction. There was the infamous 2020 photo of him in bed with that woman we just saw. Among other photos made public, multiple sources said he brought women around LSU football operations buildings. It was just a big distraction, one of the players said, because we were all sharing the ladies. I added that part. In 2019, there was no, what's Coach O doing post-game or Sunday during the day? Is he lying by the pool with a lady? He was planning events other than football. It created messes for him, like the time that Coach O pulled a woman at a gas station wearing exercise attire. Hey, you look like you work out, he said. Hey, you look like you work out. And according to multiple sources, he then said, we could work out together. The woman informed Coach O she was married, to which he responded, why does that matter? Why does it matter? Good question, Coach O. And that's what he said, basically. And that woman was the wife of a high-ranking LSU official. Coach O! The one woman at the gas station you had to talk to happened to be one of your fucking employers. Word of this obviously reached the LSU Board of Supervisors, the collection of prominent Louisiana attorneys and business owners appointed by the government who make the most important decisions at the university, and of course it reached the LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward. Right at the forefront of collegiate sports world was the Title IX scandal. I don't care about that. I want to hear more about the pussy chasing. 74-year-old part-time Mercedes-Benz Superdome worker Gloria Scott came forward with allegations about being sexually harassed at her high school football game. She spoke to Coach O about it. Okay, so this is about the Title IX scandal. Later, a lawsuit was filed by LSU by multiple victims, according to the university, investigating sexual. I like how I'm just sitting here going, like, boring, boring, sexual misconduct, boring, boring, rape charge, boring, boring, boring. Tell me more about Coach O's pussy parade. Coach O, a loyal man who is willingly serves at the request of his mentors. It's why he's so angry. He was so angry and surprised when passing game coordinator Joe Brady from one of the DVD. God, there's no more about the pussy parade in here. Let's see. This is because this is like my favorite part, and it just glossed over it all. This goes into the LSU. See, I'm glad I this is all the part I could have cut out, and I didn't beforehand. When Coach O first took over in 2016, he received acclaim for changing LSU's practice strategies and operating with the work smarter, not harder philosophy. Oh, he did that one. Then he took that a little bit too far the next season after that, after he came in and after he won the national. Now he's starting to not work smart or hard, for that matter. He started having some of his chicks come around for drills. That's the weird part. He was like, you want to tackle the sled? He's asking his fucking, the chick he just boned the night before, you want to take a run at the sled? He makes his DT miss a couple reps so that his girlfriend can just pretend to tackle the sled. It's hilarious. All right. So yeah, he resigned. It doesn't say anything else. I wanted to hear more about the fucking pussy he was pulling in there. But hey, The Athletic, a great publication. Alas, so much wasted copy there. I want to know more about the fucking pussy. So Coach O, I wish him all the luck. I mean, hey, he was fun. It's going to suck. College football is not as fun without him being around. But let us end with our favorite gentleman. We've been bringing up a lot of people that we've been talking about in the past year. And many people sent this to me at joshpottershow@gmail.com. It is our one and only Russell Wilson, Sussel. Being as Sussel as I've ever seen, you see, because he is injured. We talked about this last week. He broke his finger. And Geno Smith started his first game last, or it would be not this past Thursday night, but the one before. He started his first game on Thursday Night Football. And they were talking about how Russell has been dealing with this injury. You know, he's got the earpiece in, how he's been helping Geno Smith, and how he's been preparing to come back. Will the 6 to 8 weeks... Will it be the latter part of that 6 to 8 weeks, or could it be earlier than 6 weeks? So they were talking about how he's been rehabbing his finger, how he's already got his flex in his finger down to 75%. It's only, at this stage, most people hit 22%, but he's at 75% in terms of flex. So they were talking about all these things, and that if it's a mind over matter situation, Russell Wilson has it. So what did Russell do? They showed this video on Thursday Night Football, and I only have 7 seconds of it. They showed a great deal more of what occurred on Thursday Night Football, but let's take a look at this 7 seconds. I tweeted it out. Now, if you're asking what's going on here, that's Russell Wilson coming out pre-warm-ups. This is like before anyone's there, and he's doing the script of the game. Apparently, he does this all the time. And he is working the script of the game. And guys will do this. They'll go out there, they'll walk it in their brains, you know? Russell takes it a step further. He pretends he's doing it, including going into the huddle and talking to people. Play it again. Yeah, he's pretending he's talking to people in the huddle before he lines up to the line. He does all of that beforehand. And they're like, isn't that special? What a specimen. I mean, this guy's on another level. Yeah, he's a sociopath. This is like the Joker talking in the mirror before he goes. You know what I'm saying? This is insanity. He has to rehearse how to talk to his teammates. That means when they're in the huddle, he's not talking to them in the moment. He's saying what he's rehearsed. That's insane people shit right there. This isn't cool. This is insane. They showed this, a long sequence of it, and they were talking over there like, can you believe the diligence of Russell Wilson? I mean, there are few people who will work as hard as Russell Wilson. I'm like, that's not hard work. There are tons of people who run through the script of the plays. They're imagining it. They're just doing the walkthrough in their brain, getting in the right mindset before the game. He is legitimately having fake conversations that he can then bring into the game. That's sociopaths have to rehearse conversations. They're not listening to you when they talk. They're just figuring out what rehearsed response they're going to pull from their brain. That's what he's doing in a huddle. It's absolutely alarming to me. I thought that was right there. I said, see something, say something. Remember that woman who was like, she felt obligated to report me? I think we all need to feel obligated to report Russell Wilson after seeing that. That was alarming to me. That had me shooketh to the core, my friend. But that is where we will wrap up for today. I have a couple stories that I didn't get to that I can't wait to get to next week, and continue to send your stories in, please. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com is the address you can send them in if you want to be a Roach reporter. Remember, at the end of the year, we're going to be giving out a couple awards. So maybe you'll get in and get an award in. I want to thank one more time Griff Parker for this instrumental. Thank you to Odd Track Numbers for those remixes. Those were submitted at joshpottershow@gmail.com as well. You can do those too. If you're a music person, please to be sending them there. One more time, Buffalo Helium, November 26, 27, 28. I am going to be there. Get those tickets up at my Instagram @Josh_Potter or on my Twitter @J_Potter, or just go to the club's website and check it out for yourself. I've got some dates I'm going to announce, as I mentioned at the top of the show. We've got some merch coming later in the year. Lots of stuff on the stovetop, getting ready to pop, baby. I'm excited for it. So please to continue subscribing, rating, and reviewing. That goes a long way. Click that bell. Click that subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're on the iTunes, do the stars, rate, review, subscribe, that whole thing. It helps so much more than you can possibly imagine, and it only takes you a couple of seconds. So please to be continuing to do all of those things. Otherwise, we will see you next Tuesday here on The Josh Potter Show.